Coming up on TMS, what was the name of the ship in Star Trek Enterprise?
USS Nistmaru?
Chicken Popper Jr.
Two wongs make a right.
You can't handle the tooth.
The floor is now your mouth.
You can't go wong with Benedict.
Now you're playing with dog power.
Butt-slapping tooth man.
Chipotle's ship?
Delayed gratification.
Patrick Romulan Warburton.
Poking in the bum with your thumbs with Randy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You also need just enough outside fat to hold the shape of the beef and keep it from drying out while it's being aged, stored, and cooked.
We've got to find a way to stop these space children, and I think I just figured out how to do it.
The Morning Stream. I'm the captain now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for December 29th, 2021. A little earlier than usual. About an hour earlier than we usually do. But it's okay. That only affects these people in the chat room. It's nice to see them, of course. And then, you know, you people at home, you don't know the difference. Why am I? You
don't know
you?
The difference because we sound maybe a little less, a little tired, a little less spring in our step. I have a little less coffee than I usually do by this time of day.
Oh yeah, a little less lively. I certainly feel that way. I'm not super jazzed here. Plus, I was telling the chat earlier, we had the 2-year old all night. He stayed over last night. Long story, won't get into it, but always good to have him over. And he sleeps on a mattress in our room when he's here. We have his own little mattress set up. And he sleeps like a rock from like 8:30 p.m. up until like whenever you decide to get him up the next morning, 8 a.m., 7:30, whatever. He sleeps so soundly and so quietly and so immediately. He doesn't fuss. He doesn't get upset. Doesn't get mad. He knows it's bedtime. He gets in, cuddles up, and goes to sleep. He's just really reliable that way. But it should make me go like, oh, I'm going to have a great night's sleep tonight because the boy's fine. There he is over there. Fine. Yeah. Nope. Yeah. I can't sleep all night because he's so quiet. I'm worried he's not okay. You know what I mean? So you remember the early days of Tristan? I assume all parents go through this where they're like, are they okay? Are they breathing? Are they
in? Oh, that is 100% new parenthood. It's like, oh my God, he's going to die in his sleep. I'm not going to know.
Yeah, like all the Sid stories come to your head and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be one of those people. And in this case, you know, now it's my daughter's kid and I can't have that on my hands and, you know, just freaking out. But no, he's fine. He's just snoozing away like it's nothing. I don't know what my problem is, and he's a happy clam this morning. Anyway, so we're here. We're here. I got to tell you a very fast story about my dental visit yesterday. So I had to go in to get that crown put back on, and by that I mean they literally take the crown that popped off and put it back on. They re-cement it.
Sure.
And then, you know, hope for the
best. Existing crown, yes.
Yeah, because it's in good shape. I've only had it since 2018 or something, and the new one anyway. And so it was like no big deal. I go in there. They look at it. I go, yeah, it looks like you, we just got that tooth's weird because it's kind of flat and not a lot to grip onto. So it has a tendency to be a problem tooth. And it's either pull the tooth out entirely or keep doing this dance with the damn crown. So I'm like, whatever, I'll keep doing the dance. It's only $75. They're not going to charge me the full hoo-ha. Good. So cheapish. A trip to the dentist. People in other countries are like, what? You pay for the dentist? I know. Okay. We have weird priorities here. We understand.
Right. Yes, exactly. Guns are free, but we have to pay for the dentist.
Yeah, pay for the dentist, free MK-15 or whatever the hell the guns cost. So anyway, so I'm in there. And don't send me your emails. I know guns aren't free. I know you have to pay
for it. Yeah, exactly. I love that you'll get the emails and I won't.
Yeah, just keep them to yourself. I get it. So anyways, we're in there. Everything's being set up. Very nice girl doing the assisting. The regular dentist guy. Good guy. We always fist bump and talk, and he's got some story to tell me. Always a fine. He's great. Love that. Sure. They're great. I sit down, and before all this happens, he says, can you show me the tooth? He says to the girl. She goes, sure. She turns around to grab it, and in her haste, flicks the tooth off the little table thing there, and it goes clattering across the floor like 40 feet. Just ding, 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 ding. And I went, ah! And he goes, oh, no! And everybody's like a little bit freaked out because, if it, you know, it's not going to break. It's stronger than something that would break. But But still, it's on the floor now. The floor isn't your favorite place to have anything that's going to be in your mouth. You don't want that there.
If this was a movie comedy, then, you know, whenever they try to pick it up, it would get kicked by a foot and it would go like skeeter under another thing. And somebody would have brought their dog in the lobby and the dog would get off its leash and run through and like knock the tooth around.
Yeah. Somehow, who would be in this movie? This would be
John Goodman. Yeah. He'd be the dentist. trying to control things. Yeah.
If it was the 80s, it'd be Charles Grodin. This would be one of those Beethoven right. movies. Yeah.
Yes, right, exactly.
So anyway, this thing clatters across the floor, and he goes, and he says it in the most professional way possible. He goes, if you could take that in the sterilization room, that'd be great. Get that sterilized. Get that taken care of. And I'm like,
they're running it under the sink. They're running under the tap water in the sink.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But he claims they have some sonic whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
She goes away for a minute. I hear a little beep, beep, beep sound, and that made me feel better. She came in. They put it in. He goes, all right, that's as strong as it's ever going to be, which they say every time they do this. They always say these words. Well, that's as strong as it'll ever be, which tells me that it may not be as strong as he's like giving himself an out
to be.
Yeah. He's like, now don't eat any gummy bears. Don't eat any, Swedish fish or any of that shit. And I said, all right, I'm good. I don't eat that stuff now anyway. And he says, okay, well, we're good. Thanks a lot. Uh-oh. Slapped me on the butt. Got out of there. $75 poorer. And it doesn't hurt. Oh, everything's good. It's all in there, you know. They didn't even have to numb me. They blew some cold air on my raw socket, though. Ooh, Brian, do you want a little cold? Do you want some
what?
Some cold air on your raw socket? You want some of that?
Oh, God, no. That is like that. That hurts just thinking about it.
It did. It hurt real bad, but it was brief and everything's fine now. Hey, how was beer trivia or whatever the hell it was you did last night? You did something.
Well, we did trivia last night, but this is actually a story I forgot to tell on Monday.
Oh,
so, right. Last Thursday, T and I went to a trivia thing called Pub Poll, and it's different than regular trivia because instead of answering questions, by the way, while I'm telling the story, log into Feud. Instead of asking trivia questions, they give you poll results and you have to predict the top most popular answers. So instead of it being like, you know, who signed the Magna Carta, blah, 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 it's name the three most popular Bon Jovi songs in a poll.
You know,
like what would most people say are the three most popular Bon Jovi songs, things like that.
Right.
I think we're getting a little bit of lag again. I don't know if you want to try a different...
You know, it's a switcheroo, little switcheroo, you're saying? Is that what you're saying?
A little bit, maybe. It's just for a quick test.
Let's try it out. Let's go to the eastern coast.
Maybe
fine. Okay, now we're on the east coast of the United States. Let's see what that does. Maybe that'll work.
Very faster, because I can see your face moving with the words you're making.
You know, and if I was a jerk, I'd do like some kung fu movies and make it seem like I'm...
Right, you do the Michael Winslow Police Academy thing. I know, yes.
I will try not to do that. All right. So anyway, keep going.
Our final question was, here are five kinds of beer or five brands, and pick four of them, the top four, and put them in order as to the most ordered beer in the United States and bars across the United States. Right. So they give us Coors, Corona, Budweiser and Miller, and then A&W root beer. Which we immediately threw out. We're like, come on now.
Yeah, that's just in there to throw you off, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, well, let's do Budweiser. We knew three was Coors because of a bonus question that we got right, so we got a free answer. So we're like, all right, let's do Budweiser. I don't think Miller's popular enough, so let's do Budweiser, Corona, Coors, Miller.
Okay.
Answers come out and it is Budweiser, Miller, Coors, Corona, just like Burgess Diesel has it in the chat room.
Okay. Nice. Well done, Burgess Diesel.
So we got it wrong.
Yeah.
We've got it wrong. So we're like, oh, well, you know, played, had fun, blah, blah, blah. Sunday night, Chris Brown is having a party for his daughter who is getting married today.
Oh, so congratulations kind of to Chris
Brown. Not everybody
Brown.
Can come to the reception.
Yeah. If he's here, he listens to the show, I know. So big grats. That's awesome.
He does. Yeah.
Very cool.
So, and it's an open bar. Well, it's not necessarily an open bar. We're paying, but it's a very generously pouring bar. And Tina goes up and gets rum and coke. I get a gin and tonic, and we're sitting there chatting with the bartender. And Tina's already like 4 or 5 sips into her rum and coke. And somebody comes up to the bar and says, "Oh, let me get a Coors Banquet." And the bartender gives them a Coors Banquet. And Tina, all of a sudden, like the rum and coke has settled in, and she goes, "You know what the 4 most popular beers are in the United States?"
Okay.
She turned into drunk Cliff Clavin.
Oh, wonderful. I like that.
She's so proud of her new beer knowledge.
I would take her on an episode of Cheers. That'd be fine. Get her on there. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Absolutely. Well, well done, Tina. You know things now that you didn't know before. And that means we can move forward with our lives. Hey, what if we played a little Tad Pooley feud? What if that happened? How would that feel?
Let's do that. Let's do that.
Okay.
See if things clear up on this damn laggy network.
Yeah, what thing. The heck, man? Just because we start early, what's going on, world? all right, Dunaway being added. Here we go. I think he's already in the chat. I don't know. I haven't seen him.
Is he in there? Maybe.
Well,
he is. He's already in the game.
Oh, he's in the feud. Yeah, he's in there. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, we're doing that. 801-471-0462 is the number to call, everybody. If you want to be involved in today's Tad Pooley feud, you'll be teaming with one of us, depending on how a question goes. So get in, and get in now. It's time for us to play the Tad Pooley feud with our good pal, Brian Dunaway, who is also in here a little early today. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, pal.
Hi, pal.
Brian.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's good to see you. How the heck are you? How you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's a Wednesday, and I'm on my day, 5 or 6 away from work, so you can't argue with that.
No. Yeah, but don't look. Think of it this way. Monday, you get to do the brand new Play Retro show, which happens at 3:30, and the whole world changes that day. It's going to be great.
Sorry. I said I was off work. What I meant to say was I'm not going to my day job this week.
Oh, yeah. Screw
those
guys.
You know I'm always doing something.
Yeah. F those Peckerwoods is what I say.
Hey, that's my weekly paycheck. Let's not do that. Come on, man.
Let's not F them.
Until you guys properly support me on Patreon so I can quit my job.
That's right.
I have to kiss ass.
That's right. Our Play Retro show is going to go full Patreon. And when it does, boy, howdy.
Yes.
Let's change the life of Brian Dunaway.
Oh, my God. If you guys could change my life, I'd be stoked. I'd kiss y'all's feet every day.
Ooh, boy, I didn't know you had a foot thing. That's fantastic.
You want the feet level Patreon?
Oh man, you're crusty too. I'm moving this to the American South. Hold on a second. There we go. Let's see if that helps. No, it's good. We all kinds of weird slowdown today. I don't know if it's an AWS thing or if it's a Brian thing or if it's a Discord thing.
I don't know if you. I've been talking. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's good that it's not just happening to me. Like, it makes me feel better. Like, it's not just my connection here.
Yeah,
hey,
I don't know.
Hey, Scooch.
Yeah, that's
while
me.
While you're looking, I've already helped one person this morning at OBS. Have you checked your advanced settings in OBS under settings and looked at your dynamic change bitrate to manage congestion beta and also enable network optimization?
Yes, I've done all that. Those are all things I've done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the question, because that could also cause some delays if there is network congestion.
Well, there shouldn't be. I mean, well, I don't know. Like, am I having? I've got pure.
I mean,
I've got
a toss up.
I've got super fast up and down here, so I don't know what's. I don't know what's up. I don't
Me too. Bad. I've got a gig. I got a gig down and 25 meg up. So I mean, yeah.
You sound great right now. Like, we switched to the southern servers. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling this may be an infrastructure deal. Happening nationwide. Well, all right, we're gonna play a game. This is really gonna happen, and some people have already tried to call, but I didn't answer it yet because we were working on this. So if you want to call in, 801-471-0462, you're gonna want to do that, because if you don't, then how are you gonna win? That's how you do it here. For some reason though, hold on, is Google having trouble? Hold on, what's going on here? Maybe there are. Nope, we got one. Here we go. All right, we have a listener on. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Nismaru from the Tadpole.
Hello, Nismaru. Nice to have you here.
Nismaru.
Yeah, thanks. Always, nice always good to hear from you. A familiar name in the text or in the chat world room. Chat world room. Yay! I don't know what I'm saying. It's early. Anyway, welcome to the show. Brian Ibbett here is going to explain your role today and what you might win if things swing your direction.
That's right. Hopefully there's not too much lag between your setup for me. It's time to play the Tadpooley Feud. I've surveyed the Tadpool on some nerdy topics, and Scott and Brian will have to predict the answers that they gave us. I'm going to be playing remotely from Kabul, apparently. Ooh. It's Scott and Brian's job to see how many of those answers they can guess. Nistamaru, your job is more important than ever because you're going to be working with either Scott or Brian, and if your team wins, you will get a prize package that includes Katana Zero and 112 Operator via Steam.
Nice. Those are, let's see, Katana Zero. What is, oh, that's a great game.
That's a great game. I didn't recognize the other one, though.
Yeah, the other one I don't know.
112 Operator. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is. That sounds cool,
though. Katana Zero is a really rad action side-scrolling animated thing. It's very cool, that game.
Oh. Yeah. 112 Operator is a game where you manage emergency services on a global scale. Dispatch units, take calls, and face situations caused by weather, traffic, or changing seasons. Help the city survive escalating.
Yeah.
That's right. You're the world police. Exactly.
Yeah. I believe in you, Nisbury. Cool.
It's also on the Nintendo Switch.
Nice. You can save the world and have a little ninja man if you win that game as well.
Why don't you just call it America? Come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's America, damn it. Well, awesome. That sounds great. Well, tell us more about the topic and everything.
Yes. All right. Let's give you guys a topic. Oh, I'm so excited to see how
I love that I say something and then Ibit laughs about it 5 minutes later. Also, I just cut him off. I apologize, Ibit, because you are lagging behind.
That's all right. It is going to happen. This is going to be so much fun. All right. We asked 580 Tadpoolers to give their best response to this. 87 of you bastards passed. I don't know why you passed, because this is a really easy question. Put your hands on your buzzers and name a Star Trek space vessel that is not the Enterprise.
Ooh. Damn it. Mine was slow.
Ryan.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My head just went blank because I was like, oh, my God, there's probably so much lag that I'll have time to think about it.
3 seconds.
Oh, my God. The nemesis. I don't know. I'm just thinking of movies.
Say the nemesis. That's his answer.
I didn't expect that I would get it first. Right. It threw me off.
Well, Scott, you get a chance to steal.
I'll say Voyager. It's the Voyager.
Oh, of course.
Voyager. Yeah. Show me Voyager.
Yeah,
number
baby.
Two. Very good. And okay. Scott is going to have control of the board. And you're also going to have control of Nistamaru.
More like he'll have control of me. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Nistamaru, are you a big Trek fan? How do you feel about Trek?
I enjoy my Star Treks, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good. You're perfect for this then. Good. So my gut tells me we should stay in the popular names. And I'm trying to think, like, it'd have to be that are not the Enterprise. So I assume it's any of the Enterprises, like no Enterprise E, no Enterprise from the Enterprise.
Oh, that's a good. Right. It's what the Tadpool would say, though, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. Now, the question to the Tadpool was, name a Star Trek space vessel that is not the Enterprise. So
yeah.
My guess is Enterprise A through J.
Okay.
A through Omicron is not going to be a part of this.
So this, Maru, the reason I say that all of this is I feel pretty strongly that if we said Discovery, we would actually do pretty well because it will be a late point one. Yeah. It'll be low list, and that means higher points.
Oh, see, I've been thinking about this all wrong. Okay, yeah. All right.
So I agree.
You like that? All right, let's do that. Let's get the Discovery
all
out.
All right. Show me the Discovery.
Oh, it's not bad. Fourth. It's not bad.
That's actually good. You're going to get some good points for that.
Four. Yeah.
P-Crumb, pass was the number two answer.
Right.
By the way.
Oh, is that what they're saying in the chat? Let's go with how you feel about like the Excelsior.
Excelsior.
It's the one that
sounds good.
It's old. That's old school, and I think Sulu captained it for a long time in the lore anyway. They never had a movie about it, but he appeared in like Star Trek VI as the captain of the Excelsior. Anyway, let's do that one. The Excelsior, Brian.
All right. Show me the Excelsior.
Oh, that's a good point. Good point.
I like how Ibit was like,
I can always tell by the laughs like how far back I am. number nine in the feud here.
It does seem to be fluctuating a little, which may affect this. I don't know. Okay. All right. We're on a roll here.
Yes.
Nismaru, anything popping in your head? I can't think of any ships now.
What about the right? Defiant?
Oh, the Defiant. That is that a let's see.
That's the one. That's the one I had in my head.
No, that's good because space vessel. It doesn't say what class. That's great. Defiant.
Right, right, right.
We'll say Defiant.
Okay. All right. Show me the Defiant. Number one answer on the board.
Wow.
The
wow.
Defiant is awesome. That's a cool ship.
Yeah.
It's my favorite in the whole thing.
Space vessel, correct?
Yeah.
Or vessel.
Oh.
Yeah, or vessel. Could be a Wessel. Space vessel. Yeah.
Oh, it's any vessel. Oh, my God. You just opened up a whole thing for me.
Yeah.
So we could say, what, like bird of prey, like Klingon bird of prey? What do you think of that?
Dang it.
Yeah.
You
want to
do that?
If you want to, go for it.
All right, let's do it. Bird of prey.
Burper. All right. Burper. Klingon bird of prey.
Burper.
Burper.
Number
burper.
Six.
Oh, all right. I can deal with six. Six is good. I think we're going to kill this.
Yeah, you're destroying me. Yeah, absolutely.
Now that you've kind of figured out the other catch the game. In this, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
Dang it.
Right. Exactly. Now, if I know the tadpool, some dingleberry in the tadpool probably said shuttles.
Yeah.
Shuttlecraft, I guess.
Take the shuttlecraft.
Now, they don't have a name usually. They just are part of the ship or whatever.
Well,
is that dangerous? I don't know. Nismaru, give me your
vessel,
vote.
Right?
Well, some of them do. The Galileo, if I think that's the right name, had a name.
Oh.
That was a shuttlecraft.
Right, yeah, you're right.
Was that on the Enterprise, or where was that?
Oh, I'm not quite sure
wasn't
if it was
that
an
the,
Enterprise ship or
wasn't
not.
Wasn't that the one that Spock took?
Oh, did Spock take the wait, which one? In the movie where he dumped the red matter into the hole or whatever he did and ruined everything?
Yeah, red matter in the hole, that's it. No.
Killed all of Vulcan. Is that what he did? Didn't he end up killing... The reaction was that whatever he did wasted Vulcan.
Right.
But he did it.
And yet,
if he hadn't
yet he
done
still
it,
exists. Come on, time travel. That's not how it works.
Well, he was just old, right? Because Spock lives for a long time. Vulcans live forever. They're ancient. They're like
but
elves.
He's half human.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't mean to get off the topic. I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right. Let's go. He'll hear it in a minute. Don't worry. Let's do with.
I will, yes. Eventually, I'll hear it.
let's say just shuttlecraft and just see how it goes, what you do, what
sure.
you say.
Sure. All right. Show me just kind of your generic run-of-the-mill shuttlecraft.
Damn it.
Oh.
13th on the list. Four people said just kind of your generic run-of-the-mill shuttlecraft, tied for 13th place with a bunch of other ones.
Okay.
Interesting.
Brian, that means you get a chance to play this game. Let's see what you got.
Yes, and you know what's funny? I don't remember a lot of the... I don't remember a lot of the Federation ships for some reason. I think I just kind of always... That's stupid. I always liked the opposition's ships. So I'm going to go with the SS Botany Bay.
Botany Bay?
Botany Bay.
Botany Bay.
Botany Bay.
Oh, shit, he said. Shit. He said
Botany
shit.
Bay?
Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm in trouble.
show me Botany Bay.
I was pulling for you
number
there.
Number 11 on the list was Botany Bay. I really wanted to change the numbers so that Botany Bay could be a little bit higher, but afraid not. Botany Bay just missed the top 10.
Yeah, that's where that's when you knew you were seeing a movie, because that's where Chekhov swore he went shit when he saw it and then started to run out of there. It was great.
Yeah. And then later on, ear crawler.
He may have said, did he say shit? I don't remember.
No, he said shite.
Maybe he said damn it, dang, damn it.
Botany Bay, Botany Bay.
Damn it.
Not Botany Bay, Botany Bay. Not Botany Bay, Botany Bay, but not Botany Bay.
All right. Okay, go ahead.
Here's a question for you. Is a space station considered a space vessel?
Oh, you asked all the right questions.
Shit.
Why could you have been on my team?
I think we test it. Let's say Deep Space Nine. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I was going.
I agree.
All right.
Let's do it.
Doesn't matter what the, what's real or not. It matters what the tadpool says. Show me Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Number 10.
Awesome. Okay, you dummies out there,
15,
I'd love you guys.
23, that does make it mathematically impossible for Brian to win, but maybe Brian will get a point at some point during this whole thing. We'll
all see. Right.
If you don't run the board.
I just thought of one that reminds me of my aunt Connie, who lives in Denver, by the way. My aunt Connie used to drive a Reliant K, and I remember there was a ship or something called the Reliant. So I'm going to go with the Reliant.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Was that thing? Is that
show
a deal?
Me the Reliant. Oh, you going? Do you want to check with Nismaru first?
No, you're. Oh, I don't know. Nismaru, do you? How do you?
No, no. Go for it.
You good? Okay.
Absolutely. I'm trying to psych us out, Ibbot.
All right, show me the Reliant.
Oh, it's in there. Sweet.
Excellent. Yep, number five on the list. It's funny because now I can hear the ding from the game on the delay, so I know almost exactly what the delay is.
Oh, it's because my headphones
were... You're the most adaptable creature.
That's because I put my headphones too close to the mic, I think, and so you can hear it. I shouldn't do that, but also maybe it's good in this case. All right, let's...
three answers left on the board. Let's see if you can run the board.
We haven't done a lot of villains other than Bird of Prey for Klingons, and I'm trying to think if there's any others in Star Trek lore where we're just missing that.
Jem'Hadar.
Oh, yeah, the Jem'Hadar had cool ships.
They had their battleships, whatever they were called. I can't think of what they are.
Yeah, those were cool. What were those called? I guess we'd probably get away with Jem'Hadar ships. Let's say that. Jem'Hadar, okay. Ryan.
All right. Show me the Jem'Hadar ships.
Jem'Hadar.
Whatever the hell they're called.
Jem'Hadar.
Waiting. I've pressed the button. That's on a delay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
I think this it's got to be on Brian's end, this lag. It must be. Because that was also
it's got to be. I don't know what's going on here.
I'm
connected directly. Like, this is a wired connection right to my router.
Yeah.
So it's CenturyLink is just effing with us.
I hate CenturyLink. Oh. I'm so glad I'm off those turds.
Yeah, they're not great.
I wish we could. There's just no other options here where we're at.
Yeah, I hate that for you. Yeah. I understand that.
I do.
Hey.
All right, Brian. You get some more chances.
Yeah, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Veager. That's right. Veager. If you scrape the rest of it off, you'll big reveal Voyager, right? Is that what it was? I think Veager.
Was it pronounced Veager?
Is it Veager?
Yeah, I kept saying, Veager. Well, it's according to who you're talking to. Chekhov was like, Veager.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, really? Okay. Chekhov, all right.
Yeah, I don't know. He may have. Who knows?
I think it was in that one.
Yeah. All right. Show me V'Ger.
No, come on, Tadpool.
Oh, tied for 23rd in the list.
I just thought of something. I can't believe how dumb we are. Why not the Borg cube?
Go for it.
That was my next one.
Okay, good. The Borg, one of the Borg cubes. Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I'm just like gonna cut you off. I'm gonna interrupt you.
Yeah. No kidding. Duh. What were we thinking? Duh. Borg cubes.
Yeah.
Borg cube number three.
Okay, so then,
two more options here.
What?
I remember.
It's not your turn.
Well, you're going to fail anyway, so I still get more tries, so there.
Hold on a second. Nismaru, what's jumping in your head? Anything?
Nothing. I think I'm out.
I might be out, too. Let's say... What do the Romulans do? Warbirds?
What do the Romulans do?
I think
you're not wrong, but yes.
I think they do warbirds. So I'm going to say a Romulan warbird. Whatever that is. I'm Romulan ship.
Okay. Romulan warbird.
Oh, it's on there.
Yeah. Nice. Because didn't Spock originally blew up Romulus, and then to correct things, he blew up... Vulcan, right? Didn't that happen?
He didn't do it, but if I remember right,
he didn't arrive in time.
Well, Eric Bana did it.
Right.
I don't remember what he played.
No. Spock didn't arrive in time. Eric Bana was trying to. He was pissed.
Well, yeah, because Spock killed Romulus, so I think Eric Bana was going to get revenge by killing all of Vulcan, right?
Yes, but Spock could have saved Vulcan.
I don't remember Eric Bana's character at all.
Was it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
No, it's not. You got the Romulan Warbird.
Oh, yeah, we did. Got it. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now one last answer on the board. Let's see if you guys can clean it up.
Hey, Nismaru, how would you feel about Spock's sunglasses case that they buried him in the part two where they shot him into space?
Him in the Genesis.
Sure, it's an answer.
Yeah, why not? Right. A Spock's burial ship thing. shuttle.
I like briefcase.
Sure.
Boy, you couldn't get you just couldn't wait to buzz that one, could you?
I really couldn't. I'm trying to do it early because I don't know how much of a delay there is from when they give the answer to.
Buzz early and buzz often is Ibbots.
That's right.
All right. I'm going to go with...
I don't think anybody even... Nobody actually even in the... somebody said Spock. So I think that's what they meant was the Spock vessel. Yeah.
That's probably what they meant.
It was a Spock bullet, right?
Yeah. It looked like a sunglass. It looked like a pair of Ray-Bans in its case. Yeah. You know?
It's good.
Flying through space. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Dunaway, you got one last chance to impress us here.
I've got one more. The whale ship. That comes to Earth.
The big chocolate bar in space.
Yeah, the one that was coming to check in on his alien babies. It's like, hey, Earth, we left our babies here. How they doing? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. Show me the big Hershey bar in the sky.
That's too bad. All right. Well, what do we miss there on 7?
The one you missed, I always thought was a delicious snack food. Apparently, it's also a space vessel, Cerritos.
Oh, what? I don't know what that is. What is that?
Cerritos. The USS Cerritos.
Cerritos. Okay. Is that Chipotle's?
Chipotle.
Chipotle's ship, is that right?
That's not even the right way to say Chipotle.
Oh, it's the one on Lower Decks. Of course it is, yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen Lower Decks
yet. The animated...
Okay.
Oh, you've got to see it. It's good. Although I haven't seen
it. It's canceled now, right?
Is it?
Lower Decks?
No.
Is it?
I thought they
just finished their second season.
Okay. I may be wrong.
Let's see. Lower Decks.
I'm probably wrong.
Oh, yeah. It's not canceled. It's still going.
Okay.
Still going.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry to freak people out.
Yeah, it's got Tawny Newsome, Jack Quaid, and Noel Wells in it. They're pretty good. They're all right. Well, all right then. What else did they put in there that would be interesting? Anything else?
Yeah, so some of the other answers that people gave that didn't make the cut, obviously the Botany Bay. Kobayashi Maru, was that ever like in one of the versions of Trek? Was that a ship?
That wasn't a ship.
No, that was a test.
That was a test.
Yeah, it was a test. There was no ship called Kobayashi.
I guess you were on the Kobayashi Maru ship. I don't know.
The ship was the when you did the
it
test.
Was fake.
I can't remember.
It may have been. Right. I don't remember.
Yeah. It was. Oh no! It was a ship. Everybody's saying it was a ship.
It was just a Spock.
It was the name of the ship
though.
In the test.
Yeah. But they always said, "Did you pass the Kobayashi Maru?" So it stood. It also stood for the test that had to do with that ship. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. The Galileo, the Intrepid, the Phoenix, the Stargazer, the Vengeance, the Excalibur.
These are
Narada, Titan.
Yeah.
Delta Flyer, I think, is one of the shuttles, maybe.
Okay.
The Jellyfish. Prometheus.
What is that one? I don't remember that.
The Runabout. Some of these I just took, but multiple people said it, so I'm like, all right, I'll take it. Adelphi, Constellation, Endeavor.
Endeavor.
Let's see. God.
Did anyone
we
say
have a bunch of jokey answers? Millennium Falcon.
Nice. That's hilarious.
The Orville.
Did anyone say the saucer section, or did that ever get any?
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah.
No, because that still would be the Enterprise. It's just the Enterprise's saucer section.
Yeah, but it's a tadpole.
Yeah, it's a tadpole. You got to go with the tadpole.
What was the name of the one that was in the Enterprise? What was the first one? What was that one called?
That was the Enterprise.
Was that Enterprise too?
Okay, that was the Enterprise. There was Enterprise A. Yeah.
Okay. I thought they did a pre-flight thing.
Wasn't there a ship on some television show called Enterprise?
Yeah, was it? What was the name of the ship on Enterprise? That's amazing.
But there was one before then that was like the I'm getting all confused.
The Discovery.
Now.
Like the Discovery.
It was Dad flew one and they died. No, I'm thinking of. Captain Kirk, I don't remember now. No, it's all just a blur.
Yeah, it's a blur. There's a lot there. There's a lot to take in, so don't feel
there's
bad.
There's a lot to work with. Fertile ground.
Yeah, well, I think that's great news because it means this.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Our good pal Nismaru walks away a winner and gets these codes because we knew more Star Trek cool stuff than Brian Dunaway did, and that means... you just have to send an email to Brian Ibbot over there at coverville@gmail.com. He will send you your codes. Nismaru, how do you feel about your big win?
Ecstatic. Thank you so much for letting me play, guys.
Always good to have you on, man. Take it easy, and we'll see you next time.
Nismaru sounds like a Star Trek ship.
It does a little bit, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Get on the Nismaru.
Yeah, the Nismaru. The Nismaru does sound like a ship. That's a great name for a ship.
The Nismaru. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Captain, the Nismaru is hailing us. Oh, that's great. I love that. All right. Well, congratulations to him and to us for just having a load of fun, even though there was lag. Who cares, man? We're still having fun. Hey, Dunaway there. Anything going on for you? I guess we've talked to death about retro or play retro, but that's coming soon. It'll be here in less than a week.
Yeah, maybe they only tune in on Wednesdays, and you haven't heard we're doing a new podcast, me and Scott, on Monday at 3:30 Mountain, 5:30 Eastern, called Play Retro. We talk about retro games, but I've been playing retro games all week, and I'm going to continue to do that today. Going to probably still do it in the Emu VR.
Mm-hmm.
Going to play some more Joust. I'm almost proficient enough to make it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yes, come on.
It's really
stage
cool.
Level 5 or stage 5 in Joust. I'm trying to get to that one. I'm trying to get the lava hands to come grab me, but I haven't.
In my teen years, I was well past that and was very good at Joust. These days, I have an actual Joust machine in the basement. I'm not great at now. My instincts are not what they used to be. I'm going to real quick just give you a taste of the title sequence for the new show, just to give people a little tease here. Okay. Ooh. So here it is. Anyway, it's got a very cool vibe, got a really cool jam going. Yeah, it's
dancing already.
Yeah, people are gonna like it. It's real good. Anyway,
put that together for you. That's awesome.
I did that. I didn't make the music. I found somebody who was willing to give me some copyright free stuff of their stuff to make it, but I did a little arranging at the top and some stuff, and anyway. Did some real tweaking there.
Very cool. Scott Johnson.
The goal there was to say, hey, a little bit of retro, a little bit of modern. Let's mix it all up. Let's have it sound new and interesting. It's cool. I'm proud of it.
Anyway, rock and roll.
That'll be next Monday, 3:30 Mountain Time for the live show. And, of course, the podcast feed can be subscribed to now so you can get in early over at frogpants.com/playretro. Brian Dunaway, have a fantastic week. Have a great new year, by the way, and we'll see you next week. It's only a few days away before the new year, and we look forward to seeing you then. Suck it, brother. Suck it.
No, you.
Okay. We lost Brian's video. I think you did that on purpose. That's fine.
You lost my video. I turned off my video to see if that would help things.
It seems like you're less laggy. How are you now? Let's do a 3-2-1 fert just for the live people here. Here we go. 3-2-1.
Sure.
Oh, it's still long, but that's okay. We do our best. We make it the best we can, and we do what we can. All good. No worries. All right. Let's get Randy in here. Oh, no, we're going to take it. No, we're not taking a break. We're going to go straight to Randy. That's what we're doing because we're short today.
Correct. Yep.
Got to keep in mind how this is working. Okay. So Randy Deluxe joining us. We're going to get.
Sorry.
Where is it? There it is. We're going to get our recommendals on, and this should be fun. It might be slightly faster than we usually are recommendals. We'll see, because we want to make sure you get out on time. So here we go. Hey, you guys. Welcome with us. Oh, that was a sound. Join us in welcoming Randy Jordan, a.k.a. Randy Deluxe, to the show. Hi, Randy. How are you?
Good morning stream. That was me turning off a space heater because I am snowed in.
Oh.
I've been snowed in for 5 days. I have literally not been outside the house in five since Christmas Eve.
Are you stuck there? Are you stuck? You're not
surrounded by snow. I'm looking out the window at big stacks of snow. It's fantastic. Good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're doing great, but the coffee seems to be rolling. You got lots of coffee.
Yes, we have plenty of coffee. We're not going to run out of coffee for a few more days yet, so good. We're good.
That's fantastic. Let me ask you this. Are you stuck there?
Something wrong with the lag on the stream, because, you know, well, there's a pause, and then I hear Randy just talking really, really fast, because the lag is trying to catch up.
Yeah, that's all it is. Okay. It's just trying to catch up. Yeah.
Thank you, Brian, but Scott and I sound fine to me, so I'm just going to keep going. It is 2021, babe, man.
Are you stuck there, or are you going to get home okay? Okay.
Yes, I don't know yet. We'll find out in a couple days.
Oh, my gosh. That's freaky. All right.
Well, but we've been having a great time watching streaming stuff. Like, seriously, I've spent the last few days just sitting in front of the TV with my coffee watching streaming stuff. And it occurred to me that we're on our last recommendal of the year.
Yeah.
And I want to recommend something today that has been talked about so much this year, but somehow no one has done it as a recommendal. So Go.
Yeah.
Go.
No, this is great. We're going to get straight into it. Brian, let's start with you. We always do. You got a couple of items here on the list, and you want to set up anything first?
We'll go quick. First one is a miniseries. It's a miniseries based on a podcast based on a true story.
All right, here we go.
I feel bad. I feel like this is a waste of your time. I'm sorry. I'm going to go.
Well, look. Hey. Huh. You're here? Might as well stay. Just to keep Phyllis quiet, right? True. So fine. Have a seat. Relax. It's okay. We can just shoot the breeze.
Okay.
Okay. Is there any particular breeze you'd like to shoot?
Hmm.
All right. Well, why don't you tell me about yourself?
Well, not much to say. You know, born in New York, live in New York, great job, great life. You know, nothing to say.
You really don't want to be here, do you?
Well,
you know what? I think you're right. It's a beautiful day out. Why don't we take a walk?
A walk?
Yeah.
Together?
Sure.
I have no idea. It sounds like, I thought I heard Saul in there, Bob Odenkirk.
You're hearing Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd playing a couple of Jewish guys, Marty Markowitz and Ike Hirschkopf. That's The Shrink Next Door. This is a mini series that's based on a podcast, which is based on a true story. And watching this and learning that this is a true story is infuriating to no end. It's really, really good, but it's basically about this guy. Will Ferrell plays this guy, Marty, who's kind of like every Will Ferrell character, like from Stranger Than Fiction and Everything Must Go, where he's kind of gets walked on. He's a little bit of a lightweight, that sort of thing. And he goes and sees this shrink from a recommendation from his sister, who is Agatha all along. And the shrink starts to slowly take advantage of him. And more and more, like, kind of encroaches on his life and has him cut people out of his life and really takes over in a very, very manipulative way.
Is this like a mystery / thriller, or is this just a straight drama?
It is a straight drama. There's very little mystery. You know what's going on the entire time, and you're waiting for Will Ferrell's character to figure it out. And this, like I said, is based on the true story of a psychiatrist, Isaac Hirschkopf, who was determined in this year by New York's Department of Health to have violated minimal acceptable standards of care in the psychotherapeutic relationship. So he is, he's been disbarred. And you kind of get that nice resolution, but, you know, it's not really a spoiler alert to say that that happens, because it's really more the journey of this story. And watching these two guys who, you know, the actors just love each other and want to do stuff together, but it's like playing these characters. I don't know what you put on my screen instead of me, Scott, but boy, is it killing the tadpole.
Yeah, I'm going to fix it. I had a glitch going, but we're good.
One more question. Who is the standout performance in this one?
Paul Rudd, really surprising, because Paul Rudd also is another one of those guys who always tends to play the same character, always the super likable, affable, you know, friendly guy that you just want to hang out with. His ability to compartmentalize and direct that niceness just towards Will Ferrell's character, but then kind of have this megalomaniac side to him outside of it, is amazing. It is a breakthrough performance for Paul Rudd. I mentioned Catherine Hahn, Agatha all along. Casey Wilson plays Paul Rudd's wife. She's on that. She was on Saturday Night Live for a while, and she was on a sitcom that was really good that I can't remember the name of. But
I can't either. I know who you mean though.
Yeah, but this is great. It's on Apple TV Plus. Like I said, it's based on a podcast, which I kind of want to listen to now and just see how much of that comes through. But this is great. 8 episodes, about a half an hour each. So
okay, shorter than usual.
You could get through this in an evening.
So the only other question I had for it before we move to the next one is there's very little comedy, right? These are two comedians, two comedic actors, and yet very little comedy.
Very little comedy. I mean, a little bit because you've got these two guys and you can't help but laugh at just even some of the ways that Will Ferrell delivers non-comedic lines in a comedic way because he's freaking Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
But not so much comedy.
Right. Well, all right then. There's your first recommendal. Check that one out. How about number two? What do you got here?
Number two is a brand new film, and I think we're gonna have some divided opinions about this one.
All right, here we go.
Madam President, this comet is what we call a planet killer.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. So how certain is this?
There's 100% certainty of impact.
Please, don't say 100%.
Can we just call it a potentially significant event?
Yeah.
Yes.
But it isn't potentially going to happen. It is going to happen.
Exactly. 99.78% to be exact.
Oh, great. Okay, so it's not 100%.
Well, scientists never like to say 100%.
Call it 70% and let's move on.
But it's not even close to 70%.
You cannot go around saying to people that there's a 100% chance that they're going to die. You know, it's just nuts. And we should get some of our scientists on this, you know, no offense, but you're just two people that walked in here with...
Dr. Oglethorpe.
Dr. Ogilvie.
I've been head of planetary defense at NASA for 15 years. And Dr. Mendy is a tenured professor of astronomy at Michigan State, where Ms. DiBiase is a doctoral candidate.
Good.
I'm sorry, did you say Michigan State?
Exactly. They have an excellent astronomy department.
Yes. Come on, bro.
This is Don't Look Up. Right?
I so badly want season 2 of Space Force. Come on, Space Force. Get with the return.
Yeah, maybe they will. You never know. But so this Don't Look Up thing is controversial, like from all kinds of angles, from what I hear. So clearly it's a satire of like America sucks and we're not even going to be smart when it comes to comets. But is it any good?
I think it's very good. It's Adam McKay who did The Big Short. And he's kind of doing the same thing where he's taking a very real thing and I'll explain why this comet is a real thing. He's taking a very real thing and then presenting in a satiric way. The movie's about a comet, like it's basically Armageddon, but what if Armageddon was real? And how would America really react? And you'd get people who are comet deniers, you'd get people who are saying that they've got real news that the comet isn't going to do any damage to Earth. And it kind of is a little bit of a satire about, I don't know, something that seems to be happening currently for the last 19, 20 months that... But you know, obviously no mention of the pandemic because it kind of focuses on how we react to this comet. That's Meryl Streep. You hear as the president. Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence are kind of your two main characters in this. Rob Morgan, you're also hearing there is Dr. Oglethorpe, not Dr. Ogilvie. Mm. Jonah Hill is the chief of staff, but also the president's son. That sounds kind of familiar.
A little bit of Don Jr. in there is what I sense.
A little bit of Don Jr. Yeah. Now here's why I think there's a lot of divisiveness, and I don't think it's purely a right versus left kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of it. There's, you know, it is a very sarcastic, not sarcastic. It's a it kind of points a flashlight at a lot of the flaws that we currently have in society with social media and our fixation on celebrity and how we'll seem to only want to take, or some people only want to take advice from either good looking people or popular people and maybe not from scientists and things
just
like that.
Just like Space Force. Like Space Force.
A little like Space Force.
Just like Space Force. Yeah. This thing won the American Film Institute Award for top 10 movies, or it was one of American Film Institute Awards top 10 movies of the year. Kate Blanchett is almost unrecognizable. Tina at one point said, "I thought Kate Blanchett was in this." And And I had to point out, yes, that person right there is Kate Blanchett.
Oh, weird. And what is she? Who's she? She's not in the administration or whatever. She's something
she plays
else.
She plays a TV show host, like a View, the View kind of host.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Interesting. Yeah,
but just a two-person kind of host.
She is, it doesn't matter who she plays. She could play a dirty old turd and she'd still be beautiful. So there's that. That's the truth about her.
She is. She's amazing.
Yeah.
But let's, we've seen the trailer for her, her I Love Lucy movie. Yeah.
That's not her.
Oh, wait, who is it?
That's Nicole Kidman.
That's Nicole Kidman.
Right, right. Sorry. I get them confused. I'm sorry. These ultra.
It's
ultra
hard to screen. Tell when Randy's being sarcastic or genuinely confused between them.
Yeah. Sorry. Ultra skinny white women.
You know what? Randy, props to Randy. I just found a headline that says Nicole Kidman on why and when she replaced Kate Blanchett in the Lucille Ball role. She was supposed to be in there. And then Nicole Kidman took
really?
It over.
Oh, really? Kate Blanchett was supposed to be?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll bet that's where your head was at.
Interesting.
Anyway.
This movie also has the rare distinction of being something that contains both Ariana Grande and Ron Perlman. So,
weird.
Enjoy that.
Yeah. I'm down with that. Does she have rocket boobs?
So anyway, I recommend it.
Yeah. So the controversy around it is interesting to me because... Of course it is. Like, of course there's controversy. They're putting up a mirror against some uncomfortable things. And no matter where you land, either politically or socially, you're going to have a reaction. I think that's the idea, though. Like, isn't that the whole idea?
I think so, too.
Get everybody worked up?
Yeah, I think so. You know, reviewers that I really like, Richard Roper didn't like it, or I think a lot of people are trying to compare it to things like Idiocracy and Dr. Strangelove and some of our classic satires, which does make sense. And it's, you know, I haven't seen Dr. Strangelove in about 20 years, so I kind of need to see it again. But I don't know. If you ask me, we found this very entertaining. It was very, very good. And it's on par with everything else that Adam McKay has done that we really like.
Well,
I'd say check it out.
The scores on Rotten Tomatoes are very strong from audiences and very middling
critics.
From critics. Critics are very critical. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's what critics do. That's how they like to, you know. Like, listen to this one.
Critic.
Listen to this guy. I don't think I agree with LA Weekly because he would normally people would say the opposite. He says, remember when McKay was making movies like Step Brothers? Now he's making movies like Vice and Don't Look Up. Glib, unfunny infomercials that are closer to TED Talks than Talladega Nights. Is he really arguing for more movies like Talladega Nights? Which, by the way, I enjoy. Right. I enjoy a good Talladega Nights kind of movie. But, I mean, is that what you're saying? Is you want him to go back to, like, dumb, brainless comedies? Like,
another Step Brothers. We don't need another Talladega Nights. No.
Oh, no. I disagree with that because there's a huge subject here. A lot of filmophiles are talking about lately the death of the straight comedy, that comedies peaked in the past and they just aren't putting out as many anymore. And I think we should reconvene on that subject on FilmSack because it's a very, very interesting subject. How we've just stopped, you know, like we don't, no one's making Step Brothers anymore for some reason, but I think you're right.
Right.
Now here's the big question before I do mine. Do you want to go while Randy and I finish these up? How do you want to do this? Do you need to pull out?
Yeah, actually. Oh, geez. Very interesting way of putting that. Does that work? Is that
it's totally fine. I can. Right? I can.
And then you and Randy can even do show titles.
Yeah, we'll come up with a solution here. I just want to make sure you're not. I don't want to screw you out of your timeline here. So, if you need
absolutely,
to bail.
I'm not going to spoil your movie, Scott, but I'm going to say that everything you say about that movie, I second because I enjoyed the hell out of that.
So. Yeah, it's real good.
without revealing what your movie is.
All right,
and you're not gonna get any argument from me, so it's just gonna be me and Scott agreeing on your behalf.
Yeah, we'll all agree. We'll agree in your stead. Yeah, that's what we'll do. Brian Nibbett, everybody, safe drive out to there, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay, there goes Brian, busy man around town. All right, Randy, I'm gonna play you my clip here. You know what this is because I think we all three saw it, but I watched this with my wife the other night. Here it is.
Guess this is it.
What's it, Phil?
What's it? All right, Fatso, I'll tell you what it is. 25 years since our first run together. 1900 and nothing.
That's a long time.
Well, not too damn long. Know what we should do?
What's that?
Go camping again in the mountains and shoot ourselves some fresh elk liver. Cook it right there on the coals, like Bronco Henry taught us. You got a sore gut?
No.
You act like it pains you to hit two words together.
All right. Yes. It's a great scene, I thought. This movie is called The Power of the Dog and is directed by Jane Campion. You know her from The Piano back in the day where you got to see Harvey Keitel's penis. That's
but do you like? Do you know her? Because she is one of the most enigmatic filmmakers of our lifetime.
Oh, yeah. She she swings in, does a thing, makes a huge buzz and a bunch of stuff, and then disappears for a bunch of time and then comes back and does it again.
And it's so amazing to me. That I, if you had asked me 1 week ago about Jane Campion, I would have scratched my head and said, "Oh, I've seen a couple of her movies.
Yeah.
Isn't she dead?" I really would have said that. Like I really would have said, "Isn't she dead?" Because it just you don't hear from her for so long.
Yeah, she's turns out alive and well. She decided to adapt a very old book, 1964, I think this book came out, called "The Power of the Dog," and make it into a film. Who knows what inspired her to do it or any of that. I haven't really looked into it, but I do know that it's one of the best things I've seen this year and maybe the best thing I've seen this year in terms of performances and just sort of raw acting. Cinematography is off the charts. If this thing doesn't win that category, then we're all doing that wrong somehow. Yeah. I've never seen – it makes me want to move to Montana, quite simply. I just freaking could not believe what I was seeing visually. Well,
all these movies always do, and I don't think it was shot in Montana. I think it was shot in, like, Alberta or something, but I'm not – I didn't actually look it up. But I just can't get over how good it looks, and you're so, so right. Like, here we are, the last recommendals of 2021, and we're coming in with the heat on the end of this year. Like – one of the best movies. You and I both love westerns, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so totally with you here. There, everything about this is perfect western. What was the movie that Seal's brother made a few months ago?
The Fast and the Shooterist. I forgot the name of it. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like that was, I remember talking to you about how that was a nouveau Western, right?
Yeah.
It was, you take all of your Western setting and you twist it. You add a bunch of like fast action and, you know, and you have people talking to each other, in ways that they probably never would have back then.
Yeah, yeah.
This is serious setting. Like it's a period piece. Is
oh yeah, for sure. By the way, so I looked it up. It's all shot in New Zealand, which is where she's from. So that makes sense. Cause that is some sweeping business and it is freaking gorgeous. Now I will warn people, this isn't the kind of Western that is a lot of like, I'm going to go down there and show them cattle rustlers what for. It isn't that kind of movie. This movie is actually set late in the era we might call the Old West. 1925 is the era or is the year. So you're in the middle of flappers and, you know, sort of big cities are taking off and cars exist and that sort of thing. They're all Model Ts, but you know, they exist. And it's kind of the last dregs of that era, which adds to, I think, to the drama and some of the tone around the thing. The thing I would compare it to in terms of tone. So if you know, kind of, so people know what they're getting into is I would say this is a lot closer to the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford level of Western.
Good comparison.
Yeah. Very, very cerebral, not your typical shooting, tooting, Western rooting kind of movie. And it's, the story's complex and weird and it's all about these relationships and you think it's going to be kind of going one way and it kind of takes weird turns in ways. I should mention the cast and stuff. The movie features the inevitable Academy Award nomination and possible win of Benedict Cumberbatch. He's amazing in this. Just simply incredible in this. And, you know, it's funny to just, I just saw Spider-Man. I'm like, oh, there's, here's old Adam or Doctor Strange again, and boy, here he is as the voice of the Grinch cartoon we watched the other day, and you know, you just kind of think of him as everywhere, but this is like top shelf class A acting by Cumberbatch.
And he's wearing that hat. Yeah. And that hat, I don't know the name of that hat, but it covers it covers your entire forehead. It covers all the way over your eyebrows.
Yeah.
And so you only see his eyes. And the man has the most beautiful eyes.
No, he is a number of things. But one of them is for sure a striking presence. The other is a man who can fake every accent and make you forget he's English. He's extremely good at that. I don't want to not mention the fact that in this movie also you get some people call him Fat Damon. I don't think that's fair, but it's Jesse Plemons and Kirsten Dunst, who are an actual real life couple. They met in the production of season 2 of Fargo, where they were also excellent. And here they are working together again. Very different roles, but Kirsten Dunst plays Rose Gordon. Jesse Plemons plays George Burbank, who owns the ranch that this is all centered around. And then she's got a son from her previous marriage, Peter Gordon, played by Cody Smith McPhee, that weird-looking dude. And he's amazing in this and haunting and strange. And I don't want to say too much else because story-wise, it's an oddball thing, and it addresses issues that in 1925 would have been so freaking untouchable. Like, you just wouldn't have talked about some of the issues that are brought up here, and a lot of it's left to your you don't really know imagination. Like, I don't really know what went on between Cumberbatch's character Phil Burbank and his mentor when they were kids and growing up and first getting into cowboy work. We don't know. We have an idea, and a lot of it's kind of, and we don't, you know, like it goes places is what I'm saying. And it doesn't do it in a way that is ever like explicit or anything, but it's so evocative. And the music just is this crazy, like crawl up your spine intensity, even though the thing that might be happening on scene is not intense. The music makes it feel like something real bad's about to happen, and sometimes something bad does happen, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, and in a worse movie, that's a cheat, and you'd get tired of it and you'd get mad at the movie.
Right.
In a movie where there weren't good stakes established, or there wasn't really good acting, so you weren't really invested in the characters.
Yeah.
That thing where they build tension for no reason,
with
no great payoff, that would drive you crazy. And I can't think of a good example right now. Yeah. But in this one, no, it's the tension building due to the sound and the quiet, and sometimes the silence is really well used.
Yeah.
And I just want to say one thing about Kirsten Dunst, because this is a movie that lives and dies on people doing good performances.
Yeah.
And you might see Kirsten Dunst in the cast list and go, oh, you know, I have thoughts. Like, you know, like you might have memories of something. This is an actor who burst onto the scene at 12 years old in 1994 and very quickly in the next 10 years became a love her or hate her kind of actor. You need to know that over the last 20 years, she has become a rock solid performance.
No, she's amazing. She's amazing. Yeah. And in this, in particular, she's like just a level of emotion. I don't give anything away here, but the we need to hear you play the piano scene. She sold that to me in a way I just didn't expect her to embody what that would feel like so well. Like, she blew my mind. She was really, really good in this. And the thing is, like, if you saw her and her, I guess they're now married, her and Plemons in season 2 of Fargo, you went, oh, look at these two. Look at her. Wow. She's not just Mary Jane anymore from Spider-Man.
Right.
She's something else. And this carries through here. And it's so cool to see those two working together. Anyway, I think it deserves its 95%, approval on freaking Rotten Tomatoes. It's currently on Netflix. It's a Netflix original, so it'll always be there. And do not be surprised to see this thing smeared all over the Oscars. I am going to say, though, with all the praise I'm giving it, and Kim and I absolutely loved it, this is not going to be for everyone. There are going to be some people who find the kind of tension in this and this sort of discord that just surrounds all of it. They're not going to like this. They're going to find this.
Right.
That's why I mentioned the Coward Robert Ford movie. If you saw that and liked it, you're going to like this. If you saw that and hated it, you're probably going to want to not see this one because it's very similar.
And if we were just talking privately, I'd like to talk to you about the portrayal of meanness and cruelty.
Yeah.
And what that comes out as in some Westerns.
Yeah. It's very different here, right? Because in some Westerns, it's like, oh, I'll show you the backhand of my pistol and as an act of cruelty. In this movie, a side-eyed look across a room is an act of cruelty. Like, it's just a...
Right.
It's an odd thing. It's a very odd movie and really goes places I didn't expect it to. I really, really liked it.
Yeah, I have a feeling we'll be seeing a bit more here, finding out a bit more about this come the Oscars. I really do.
Guaranteed. All right, let's play. So that's on Netflix. Again, the movie is Power of the Dog. And by the way, there is an actual dog in the movie and also a thing that's shaped like a dog, but really there's no other dogs. I just want to put that out
there.
Yes,
this is not about a superhero with four legs.
No, there's no dog. The dog central, there's no dog central story, okay? We're just putting that out there. All right, Randy, I'm going to play your clip. Any setup here for this thing?
I just want to say this is one of the most talked about things on this show, on the morning stream this year. It is one of the most talked about things for a while. So no one should be surprised at this. You should be surprised that none of us have brought it up as a recommendal yet. But there's a reason for that. It just finally went to streaming that you don't have to necessarily pay extra money for.
Right.
And I also want to talk a little bit about actors who are comedians turning themselves into comic actors or straight actors, because this movie, it has one of the best examples of that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And again, we've talked about it a lot lately, so no surprises. You hit it and stop when you're ready to keep talking.
All right, here we go.
I should also probably mention that my name's not technically Sean.
What? What is it?
It's Shang-Chi.
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 Shang.
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 S-H-A-N-G. Shang.
Shang?
Yeah.
You change your name from Shang to Sean?
Yeah, I don't.
I wonder how your father found you.
I was 15 years old, all right?
What is your name change logic? You going into hiding and your name is Michael, you go on change it to Michael.
That's not what happened.
It's like, hi, my name's Gina. I'm going to go into hiding. My new name's Gina. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, you can hear me.
That's a good sign. That's a good scene.
I'm telling you, watch this again. Go get it is on Apple TV, and you should go. Disney.
Disney Plus.
And you should go watch it again. It was so good, Scott.
Yeah, I loved it. We watched it as well. Thought Shang-Chi was a huge, not a surprise, just like a nice. I don't know how to look at it. It's obviously MCU, and it's got a lot of the MCU trappings and all of that other stuff, but. What really sold it for me was the Tony Leung. How do you say his name? Tony Leung, I think his name is.
Leung.
The guy, dude's been around Hong Kong cinema for decades.
Yeah.
Just recognizable as hell. So from one of my favorite John Woo films, whose name I cannot think of. Hard Boiled before that was another one, and he was in that. Or maybe it was Hard Boiled. Well, anyway, he's amazing. He blew my mind as the, I guess, villain, but kind of like a sympathetic villain in a weird way. Like, there's so much about him that I loved in this, but the whole thing was great. It's one of my favorite MCU movies, and I didn't expect to like it. I have to admit, though, and you're going to argue with me on this.
Okay.
Awkwafina drove me kind of crazy in this.
Okay, and that's what I'm here to talk about, because for a lot of people, that is their out. They like start watching a trailer, and they see her and hear her and go, nah, I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah.
And kind of like you might think of Kirsten Dunst as a young person who hasn't taken enough acting lessons yet, but believe me, they've matured. Awkwafina is following a path in Hollywood that I think you need to get on board with. She has gone from being a regular comedian with a particular voice, right? Every comedian has to find their voice in order to become great, right? And she's, you know, she hosted Saturday Night Live a couple of years ago.
Sure.
And it felt like, you know, she's really got it as a comedian, but she has to act in this movie. She has to be both the straight man and the trope of the developing hero, right?
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of this movie the first time wondering, is she going to pull this off? Like, I don't know if I trust this. And like I say, a lot of people I just go on Twitter and search S-H-A-N-G and Awkwafina, and you'll find people going, nope, I am not even going to watch it. I'm not even going to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, wow, because I'm not saying she carries the film. She doesn't have to carry the film. The main characters all carry the film, every one of them.
Yeah.
but she's funny when she needs to be funny. And when it comes time for her to have tears in her eyes and throw her arms around Shang-Chi, she is right for it. And I just love that about this movie.
Yeah, I thought her rise from goofball best friend to expert archer was a little too quick, maybe.
Sure.
However, by the end, I'm kind of with you by the end. I think she was fine. I don't know, like, after I finished the movie, I went, well, you know what? No matter what, the movie, the way it was structured, he kind of did need a stand-in for us, like someone to go along with her or with him. And so I started to think, well, who should that have been then? If it's not Awkwafina, then who is it? I didn't have a good answer.
And if,
she's fine.
If you merely want to talk about this movie on racial lines, right? Like the whole movie is basically Asian actors with one piece of stunt casting, you're talking about Ben Kingsley, and Ben Kingsley could have been anyone.
Yeah, no, that's true. Well, he had to have been him because he had to be that Trevor guy from Iron Man 3, and you know, sure, that was their – yeah, I give it to you.
I'm saying, like, in the generic role of the white old man comic relief, yeah. You know?
Yeah, like, no, that's a fair point.
Anyone could have played that.
You're right. And that's been true of a lot of MCU stuff. Like, you know, I'm always surprised by how they cast in those movies because sometimes it's overcast, for lack of a better term, and you're like, whoa, I can't believe they got so-and-so to be this thing. But yeah, it's a great romp. I thought this, in particular, the effects were really great. I didn't expect to be impressed by that so much because, like, you know, I watched Spider-Man the other day and I liked it a lot, the new Spider-Man, but I thought some of the effects were kind of garbage. And it's just because I've been so blown away by other things. And in particular, I thought Shang-Chi had some amazing effects and fight scenes, and the stuff toward the end with the dragons and stuff was really awesome. But yeah, we loved it. We had a really good time with it. Her voice just eats my soul. I don't know what it is. It's not, I have nothing against her personally. I just find her tone, and she uses it in almost everything she's in, to just take me out a little bit. And it might be just a me thing, you know, I don't know, but it's something with the way she talks that drives me nuts. But I think Simu Liu is amazing in this role as Shang-Chi. It's very cool.
He is. And to think we found this guy on a Canadian sitcom, right?
Like
seriously, what did he really do to get, you know, noticed?
Yeah, he was in that. He's been like a lot of little smaller parts in all kinds of Vancouver productions. He was in an episode of The Expanse for a hot second. He was a soldier in some episode. I can't remember what happened there. He was, of course, like you mentioned, in the Mr. Kim thing. What was it called? Can't think now.
Kim's Convenience. What if no one takes you seriously because as an actor, your biggest part was a son of a convenience store owner who is known for poking people in the bum with your thumbs. Like, what if that's your...
Yeah, what if that's your whole career up to that point? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
He's super buff, too, which I think probably helped. They probably saw him and went, oh my gosh, that guy's ripped. We need to make him...
Yeah, apparently, Shang-Chi. If you're from Vancouver, Ryan Reynolds, you have to have awesome arms.
Oh, that's the other thing I noticed about MCU lately, this movie included. And I said it on Twitter yesterday to some controversy, but I still stick by it. I think Benedict Wong, the actor Benedict Wong, who plays Wong in the MCU.
Yes.
He is the John Ratzenberger of the MCU. And I don't mean that as a derogatory term. If you watch any Pixar movie, you're guaranteed to have John Ratzenberger voice something in it. Some character, some group of characters, something will be voiced by Ratzenberger who played Cliff Clavin on Cheers, for those who don't know who that is, that's just a guaranteed with Pixar movies. It's their fun Easter egg they put in every one of those. After seeing the last, I don't know, it feels like 12 MCU movies, it's no longer Clark Gregg. He's out. He's not the guy anymore. It's now Benedict Wong. He will be in your movie. He'll just be
Benedict
in it.
Benedict Wong must live near the Disney studios in Burbank.
Yeah.
And it's like, we need someone we can just call on random filming days. That's got to be, it's just crazy.
He makes himself very available, I guess. So that's
cool. The character fits, right? Because he is the archivist. He is the librarian of the MCU. So
yeah. He's maybe even more now, but I don't want to give anything away. But yeah, he's a big deal.
Like, but if this movie had Doctor Strange come through the portal, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have blinked. That would have been totally expected.
Yeah,
right?
It would have been fine. But since it's Wong, it's like, oh, hey, what's up with you? And the funny thing about it is, I also just think he's an amazing actor in his own right and deserves every minute of screen time he gets. I love that guy and everything. I loved him in Sunshine. I loved him in what's the other one? Oh, my brain. The Martian. He was amazing in The Martian. It was the Chinese rep that was always on camera in there. He's an amazing actor. He's so good. And the fact that he's this guy now for the MCU is my favorite thing in the world. So anyway, that's a small thing.
We don't know. I don't know exactly when this movie takes place. We know it takes place after the end of Infinity War.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And you may as well put it in its... in its chronological place, right? Like it may as well be taking place right now.
I think it's post blink or blip. I think
right after the end of Infinity War.
Yeah,
right?
Or after the end of Endgame. Yeah, I think because it's post
Endgame.
Yeah. So it's post. Everyone's back.
Okay. Right.
Time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, it doesn't need it. Like the movie could have put a lot of weight on like you seeing Spider-Man on the TV or something. And it didn't. The movie tries to stand alone, and it even with Benedict Wong coming and going, I think it does a really, really good job.
Yeah.
In that regard. And the thing is, I kind of want that cheese, right? I kind of want. Remember when we talked about the Army of the Dead prequel? I kind of liked that it keeps referring to Army of the activities going on in Army of the Dead.
Yeah, I also like.
But
that.
This one. This is such a good movie. It doesn't need that, right?
Yeah.
Instead, this movie leans really heavily on actors delivering their lines. Michelle Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
She has a lot of really crucial lines, and she's amazing.
She's great.
As you were saying earlier, Tony Leung he has a lot of crucial lines, and it's hard to describe his character.
To me, he stole the movie in a lot of ways. Like he is, there was so much gravity to his arc. I didn't expect that at all. Like I didn't expect to get that invested in who he was, and what he was doing and what his motivations were. That stuff really worked for me. And I also just think it's about time that guy got some damn American screen time. Like he's just so cool.
And at the risk of this becoming a mini film sack, I just want to pivot a little tiny bit here back to the fact that this was a highly watched, highly discussed movie, because I almost didn't put it into recommendals because I feel like everyone's seen it already, but apparently they haven't. Yeah. And you need to see it. Yeah. It's worth watching. That's the whole point here. It's the end of the year. This year was tremendous for streaming, Scott.
Yeah,
like for all of the last 22 months have sucked in so many ways. But somehow 2021 was the year of Ted Lasso and Midnight Mass. Yeah. And Dr. Death and Mayor of Easttown and Only Murders in the Building and Reservation Dogs and Falcon and the Winter Soldier and The White Lotus. You want me to keep going?
I mean, you could because it's forever. The list is forever. I get it.
Yeah. And so like the whole point of what we're talking about here is trying to help people with their vetting. Right? You only have so many hours of the day and you kind of count on people who watch a lot of stuff to vet it for you. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Masters of the Universe Revelation was amazing and you should watch that.
You know? I still haven't seen that, but yeah, like that's the other thing is, you know, there's Arcane and a million, it's an unbelievable embarrassment of riches in 2021.
And 2021 was the year of Squid Game, which, whether or not you think it's a 10 out of 10, yeah. Squid Game was the most streamed TV series of all time.
Yeah.
And Netflix came out just a couple days ago and said that they're assigning that one show $900 million in earned value.
Yeah.
Now, that's a purely imaginary number, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah.
We should be laughing at them for even putting that out there.
Yeah,
but
no, for sure.
You've got to salute them for their audacity, right?
Yeah.
They found something that no one really would have signed up to watch, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And they made it into the most streamed series of all
time. Yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy awesome. That any of that even happened. One last thing I'd say about Shang-Chi is that what was it? I had a thing to say and I forgot what it was.
Poop. Dang it. It was good and I
forgot what it was and I hate that I forgot. And so now I've forgotten it. I guess I don't know what I was going to say. It was good though. Whatever it was, really important stuff. You'll have to check in later when my brain resets itself.
It fits. I'll tell you what my final conclusion is. And that is 2021 had a lot of MCU.
Yeah.
It had WandaVision and it had Hawkeye and it had Shang-Chi and they all work.
Yeah,
they work.
They're
it
all
had
good.
Black Widow. They
yeah.
all work. They're all good and it fits. They're not a bunch of discordant stuff. They fit.
They all fit really well and they all fit together weirdly. So that's the other amazing thing.
Exactly. Yeah. New Spider-Man movie fits perfectly with this.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I ended up loving that. All right. Well, there's your recommendals for today. Now, Randy, every day when he does these, I guess every Wednesday, compiles these, puts these up on Twitter, and we're also going to start putting them on a site that'll like show people what we talked about. So it'll be easier to see.
But first, we're going to spend a couple more months talking about doing that.
Yeah, we'll still talk about doing it some more, and then we'll do it, is my thinking. But for now, you want to follow him at Randy Deluxe on Twitter. He'll post those up. We'll retweet them on our account, and all will be well. And that's really going to do it for today's show. By the way, I don't know if people know this. A lot of you do because you support us there. But patreon.com/TMS needs you to hop over there and support us. Those that do, thank you. Those that haven't yet, consider it. Get over there and throw us a couple of bucks a month. It's no big deal. We're way underpriced. It's stupid the way we set this up. So take advantage of our stupidity and join us at patreon.com/TMS. Quick programming note, tomorrow will be a normal show. Just all your usual Thursday business, although Wendy may be snowed in her own self in Minnesota. She's in a cabin she was at for a holiday. She was supposed to be back, but that got snowed in, so she's stuck. Randy's stuck in Canada. Everybody's stuck somewhere, so enjoy being stuck, I suppose. It's better than having your flight canceled. So anyway, we'll be back tomorrow with a show, though, however, no matter what happens. We'll have our new book series, or book segment, rather, with Amy, so she'll be here. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. Frogpants.com/TMS is our regular website. And also, if you're looking for some hot new business happening over the weekend, make sure you check out FilmSack. We're going to be doing the Matrix sequel, which should be fun. Right, Randy? We're stoked about that.
We are. I'm going to hold it all for this weekend. We're going to record Sunday morning. I don't want to say anything more about this movie right now.
Yeah.
Please watch it and then listen to FilmSack.
Yeah, it should be very good. Also, I don't know what today's song name is. All I know is that Brian put a file in the folder called 01name1.m4a. That's the song.
That's the name. What if it's the song is Name by the Band One?
It could be Name by the Band One. So my plan is I'm just going to play it and hope for the best because I don't know what the shit this is. But 01name1 is going to be played today for today's outro song. And I think that's going to do it for us. Randy, thanks for sticking around toward the end here. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yep. He's going to help me pick titles as well. So it should be fun.
Yeah, I am. Have a good day, everyone.
Yeah, have a great day. A happy new year for some of you who won't be here tomorrow. But and we're still doing a show on New Year's Eve, 1:30 p.m. We are part of the annual streamathon that Ritual Misery does. We're going to get some damn charity done for some kids and have a TMS episode. So that'll be happening live 1:30 p.m. Mountain Time on that afternoon, which is, again, Friday, right? Friday. Friday?
Yes.
Friday.
Yes, Friday is New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. All right, that's going to do it. I'm going to play this song. That'll do it for the show. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you really enjoy song one. I know I do. It's a hell of a track. And we'll catch you guys tomorrow. Everybody within the sound of our voice, be good. We'll see you then. Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com. Oh, I don't know what that was.